Bridging the Cross-Cultural Gap, copyright 2009, University of Michigan. Unit 1, transcript of lecture excerpt for Task 17, Activity Set 5, Intercultural Communication. Today I'm going to introduce you to some of the key ideas associated with the field of intercultural communication. Intercultural communication is a very broad area. To give you an idea of just how broad it is, imagine what needs to be considered about culture, like values and traditions, plus all the points connected with human communication, like verbal and nonverbal cues. Can you visualize just how much ground is covered? We could probably talk for 10 years on this subject and still not exhaust all of the material. Intercultural communication can be quite complicated. Because there are so many variables, probably hundreds, associated with human beings, it's not really possible to talk about strictly controlled scientific experiments in this field, as might be possible for hard sciences like chemistry or biology. There is much that we've learned in the past 40 or so years of research, but we need to remember that intercultural communication is a soft science and that no single study in this field can possibly control all the relevant factors that affect people included in the research. Despite these many variables, three general factors influence most intercultural interactions: verbal communication, nonverbal communication, and situational familiarity. The first area, verbal communication, involves spoken and written language. At this point, we can talk about speech sounds, words and sentences, meanings, major language groups, and dialects. Knowing when to start talking and when to stop or turn-taking is also part of verbal communication. Even if the language mode is written, it's considered verbal communication. The second area is nonverbal communication. Silence is included in this subtopic, along with physical appearance, posture, gestures, eye contact, space, and touch. Some researchers even go as far as to say that when you converse with someone, your body language is as much as 75% of the message that your audience receives, which means that your words might count for only 25%. The last major area we're going to talk about is situational familiarity. Whenever we are faced with a situation, we use our cultural experience to determine what type of response is most appropriate. For example, let's say that you have just bought a nice high-definition TV at an electronics appliance store. You asked two of your friends to help you take it home because it's so large. After spending an hour and a half loading it into your friend's truck, driving home, unloading it in your apartment, plugging everything in, you discover after all that effort that it doesn't work. What do you do? In some cultures, you would have every right to return the TV to the store where it was purchased and demand a full refund. In other cultures, you would be out of luck. How do you know when you have a right to complain and when you don't have a right to complain? How do you know what words and actions would be appropriate to express that complaint? In the culture where you bought the TV, are you supposed to turn all red in the face and wave your hands wildly so that the shop clerk will know that you are serious? Is it better to use an indirect style, speak softly, and avoid eye contact? If your approach is too direct or strong, you could offend someone and may go to jail. If your response is too indirect, however, the shop clerk might not think your complaint is very serious, and your problem might not get resolved. Your familiarity with a particular situation is closely associated with your cultural experiences, and that plays a large role in how you communicate across cultures. Intercultural communication skills will continue to be in high demand in the coming decades. Even in India, a country known for having thousands of highly skilled multilingual workers, often employed in corporate outsourcing and telephone customer service occupations, approximately 120,000 bilingual positions will go unfilled because these positions require a strong working knowledge of English and at least one other language. This is according to McKinsey Consulting in 2006. An ability to communicate effectively with people from other languages and cultures is a highly desirable skill that often leads to rewarding and well-paid careers. Whether you are looking for rewarding employment, whether you want to know how to effectively return a broken TV, or whether you are simply interested in learning about other languages and cultures, the field of intercultural communication offers some interesting possibilities. Now, are there any questions?